Hello, my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 7th of August 2009 and the time is 7:16 a.m. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
I'm Julia Ruth Kellum. My date of birth is 8th of January 1955. And I come from Camber, which is near Rye in East Sussex.
Lovely. And how are you today?
Nervous. Not least about this.
Yeah. Well, what was it that inspired you initially to take part in One Another?
I saw something on television about it, and to go onto the website and just. And I've never done anything like it in my life. And so I thought, well, why not? And I also thought I will never be picked, like most people I expect. But so I registered and forgot about it until I had the first email saying that I hadn't been successful in the first. I thought, oh, fine. And then on the 1st of July, I was just checking my emails before going to Berlin for a few days with my husband. I thought, check them before we go. And it was there, the email saying that I had a place. If I hadn't have checked them, I would have been outside the acceptance time. So I would have lost my chance. So I'm so glad I did check them.
Yeah. And how did you feel when you found out that you got a place?
First, excited, because it is something so different for me. And then terrified. What am I letting myself in for? But no, now, still a mix of both.
And when you found out that you had got a place, how did you decide what you're going to do with your hour on the plinth?
My initial thing was to be absolutely selfish and just do it for me. But then I began to feel a bit guilty about that. Well, it's such an opportunity up there to do, perhaps raise some awareness. And I'm a health visitor, and I used to be, up to last year in our local area, I was coordinator for the CONI scheme, which is care of the next infant for families who've suffered cot death. And my daughter said to me, well, why don't you do something for the FSID, the Foundation for the Study of Infant Death? So I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I contacted them and said, that I had the place. Is there anything I could do to raise awareness for them? And they have a new project starting, a new website, which actually goes live on Monday, so the timing is perfect. And it's called Bubblicious, and it's aimed at 13 to 20 year olds, young parents, both male and female, so mums and dads. And it's going to be like a social networking site for them, because they're used to using them, Facebook and Bebo and all that sort of thing, more than I am, I've got to say. And so they can get information, they can buddy up, and that, because young parents have are six times more likely to suffer a cot death than an older parent, because of lifestyle and everything else that goes with it. And so that's what we're going to be raising awareness of. The girls from the foundation are coming here this morning to support me, and I shall be wearing one of their t-shirts, providing they bring one that's big enough, and a banner with the website on it, and I shall be saying a bit up there, which I know people in the square might not hear so much, but if it gets the message across via the internet, it just makes people aware of it and spread the news.
Very good. And what does it mean for you personally to stand on the fourth plinth?
Something totally different. I'm not a performer. When I was a manager in my work, having to stand up in front of people and speak was terrifying. Though most people say that I come across as confident, I don't feel it inside. But that's the air that I can give sometimes, which I think a lot of people are like that. And just retiring at the end of this year, and so I thought, well, start doing something different. So for me, it's very important, and the fact that my family have come up to support me in that as well. school cost a bit though for everybody. I've got one sister from Devon, one from Somerset, my daughter and son-in-law and two granddaughters from Kent have come up. My other granddaughters are on holiday, so they can't. But the rest of the family are watching on the web.
And what do they think about you taking part in this?
They think it's great. I think it's absolutely wonderful. So, and say, and something so different for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your profession sounds very well humbling, and I suppose you must see a lot and meet a lot of people in difficult circumstances. Would you like to say a little bit about your experience of working in this field?
Well, now I'm a specialist health visitor and I work in child protection, but for that, yeah. You know, and I supervise the health visitors that are visiting family on a day-to-day basis. So, you've got to work with families where they are. I think there's an image of health visitors as being pearls and twinset and very middle class. And I think once upon a time that might have been true, but not now. And I've got to say, the girls that are working with the families every day do a heck of a lot of good work. They're understaffed, overworked. I think the biggest problem is that, especially with child protection work, we work closely with social services, and sometimes people can get confused about whether it's health or social services. But as health, we're very much more acceptable universally and mind you, I feel sorry for social workers. They've got bad press and they do some fantastic work as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you only ever hear about things that go wrong,
yeah.
Not everything that goes right.
And how long have you worked in this area?
I've been working in child protection for 10 years, no, 12 years. And I've been a health visitor for 21 years now. So, yeah, long enough. Seen some changes.
Yeah. Yeah, how has it changed?
I think the pressures on families, they've become even more isolated in some ways, because there aren't the extended families that they used to be. That could be a double-edged sword, mind you, having an extended family around. Not always a good idea. And also, I think that the economic pressures, some of the area where we work is a rural area and can appear quite affluent, and people think that if you're okay financially that you don't have problems. That's not the case. You're just better at hiding them. And because you've got to keep up appearances, and I think there is that that's the problem for the more affluent clients. But also with the way the economy is going, everybody's getting hit, and that is a problem.
And you mentioned that you're approaching retirement. Mm. How are you feeling about retirement?
I'm really looking forward to it. My brother-in-law saying to me, what are you going to do? You've got to have something planned. I'm like, no. I shall probably take 6 months of not doing anything. And then, yes, I don't know whether it be voluntary work, or I might get a little part-time job or something. But I've got two small granddaughters that live quite close to me. So, you know, the 2-year-old and a 10-week-old. And the 2-year-old we have every week for a night. I absolutely adore it. Because we have the fun and then get to give her back. When we can just sit back exhausted, but she's real fun. And when my daughter works, I look after them. So I do the usual granny bits, and I really love being a grandma. It's more fun than being a mum. I said, because I think you haven't got the responsibility and you get to give them back and that. So.
And what has being a grandma given to you, I suppose? How has it enriched your life?
I think it's the fun side. When I think back to my daughter when she was small, I worked, always worked. I used to work nights then, used to do two nights a week for years while she was small, because it fitted in. And you get so tied up with the humdrum of daily life. I don't think you get the fun out of your kids that you could do and should do. But as I say, as a grandma, 100% of the time is devoted to them when we've got them, and it doesn't matter what doesn't get done, because when they go home we can catch up. And of course when they're yours, you've got to do your usual daily stuff and that. But yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it.
Wonderful. Could you say a little bit about you, about your interests and hobbies, your passions?
I don't know if I've got any passions. I read and I do crosswords and Sudoku, whichever way around it is, yeah. Like going to the cinema and films and that, but and theatre occasionally. We used to come up to London and see shows more regularly than we do now because my husband's mobility is limited, so it makes planning it a bit more difficult. But I ought to take up more active pastime. I keep saying and I look down at my tummy and I know that I should, and perhaps I will when I retire, even if it's just walking. But my husband and I used to walk quite a bit, but he can't now, so, and it's not the same walking on your own, just having somebody to make a comment to when you see something or whatever. But I need to make an effort to do something, that's for sure, not to vegetate.
Could you say a little bit about your upbringing or your kind of background?
Come from a family, I've got one brother and two sisters. So my two sisters will be up here, my brother will be watching on the internet. Very ordinary working class, very stable background, for which I feel quite privileged now looking back on it. You know, money wasn't plentiful, but love and support and stability was. And at the end of the day, that counts more than all the millions of pounds that you could ever have. And I miss my mum and dad terribly. I think you miss them more once they've gone. You take them for granted all the time they're around. But I do miss them. Even I think, especially with my growing family and that, I want to say to my mum, what do you think of Rosie? Look at what she's doing. And of course she's not there, but still.
And how about the area that you grew up in? What was that like?
I grew up, until I was 11, we lived in Surrey, in Cobham in Surrey, on a council estate. Great, wonderful. Good neighbours, all the kids to play with, it was safe to play. Then we moved to Sussex when I was 11, and down to Canberra. And that's a small village and very seasonal. We have a holiday camp there, Pontins and Caravan Park and that. And so in the summer it can be very busy, and in the winter it's very quiet. And I actually quite like that about it, the difference in the two seasons. It's nice to see the people around, but it's also nice to see them go and have the village back. And to walk on the beach in the winter is wonderful. I hardly ever go to the beach in the summer, I've got to say. Apart from if I take grandchildren over there. But we've got a lovely garden, and so I'd rather sit in the garden. It's nice rather than... I hate sand, and Canberra's famous for its sands. Mm-hmm. And it just gets everywhere. So I'd rather sit on the grass in the garden. But although having said that, our house is on the market at the moment, so we're hoping to move inland a bit. Because one daughter lives in Ashford, and I have a stepdaughter as well, and she lives near Maidstone. So we hope to move a bit closer. So it makes travelling time. It's only half an hour, but if we could cut it down to a quarter of an hour away, that would be nice.
And how did you meet your husband?
He's he was a carpenter when he was working, and I was used to babysit for some friends, and they'd bought a... another property, and they were doing it up, and Tony was the carpenter that was working on that, and when they came home he'd come in for coffee, and that's how I met him. But he's 15 years older than me, and my father didn't approve at all. And he'd been married and had a daughter, so it was all very... my dad, what dads are with their daughters. Oh, it's just a crush on an older man, he said. And I kept on saying, but you haven't met him, wait until you meet him. And once they met him and got to know him, things were fine, and we've been married for 32 years now, so it seems to have worked out.
And how many, you had two children?
Got one stepdaughter and a daughter, yeah. My stepdaughter is, how old is she now? 46, and my daughter is 29. And they've each got two girls, so I've got a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old granddaughter, and then a 2-year-old and a 10-week-old. So the family's full of girls. The men are a bit outnumbered.
And then the recent addition to the family, 10 weeks old, that must have been very exciting.
Oh, it was, especially as her middle name they've given her is Julia, after me, which I felt so honoured and privileged. When Becky was pregnant, she said, "Yeah, if it's a girl, we've decided to make her middle name Julia." And I was chuffed. And my initial thought was, "Oh dear, what about the other grandma?" And then I thought, "Oh, blow the other grandma! I'm really chuffed. That's her problem." But I said, "Well, if it's a boy, you could always have a Julian." No, she said, "If it's a girl, it's Julia. If it's a boy, we'll think of something else." But she was a girl, so she's Libby Julia. So, it's wonderful.
Lovely. Yeah. So today, you're going up on the plinth.
Yeah.
What impact do you think it will have on your life, taking part in this project?
I don't know. I think one of the things I really like about it is the idea that I'll have a really significant memory to leave to the family of me. You know, think about who do they think they are or whatever, the programme. If they were to do that, then that grandmother took part in the plinth project, the one another. And I think it's really something. I feel very privileged to do it, as in to have that to hand on to them. And I've got some little party bag things which I'm going to be throwing off the plinth, which they've got a chocolate bar and a little pack of sweets and a little whistle in, all of which have my photo on them, and the date and the time and that. So for people out in the square, one every 5 minutes I'm going to throw off, and I've got one for the family. So they can eat the chocolate, but if they keep the wrapper, well, then it's got the date and the time.
And is it a recent photograph?
It's the one, it's one that's on the web, I use the same one, I thought keep it consistent.
On the profile
for the website, yeah.
Oh, that's a lovely idea.
Yeah, I wanted something, and then I thought, one every 5 minutes, and the last one I'll give to whoever follows me on. And they can chuck it away if they like.
Is that inspired by having lots of grandchildren and throwing parties?
Well, no, it was just, I wanted to do something. And I've seen people throwing sweets off and that. I thought, no, I wanted to be something, people can bin it if they want. But it was, I suppose, for the family, the ones that I give them, I know that they'll keep, I said they'll eat the sweets, but they'll keep the printed bits and that. And it was just, I suppose mainly aimed at the family, that's something that they can keep. And the project can have one if they want.
And your outfit today for your stand on the plinth, is there anything special about what you're wearing?
No, apart from the Bubblicious t-shirt, if I meet her out there in a minute, and they've bought a big enough one. I did try to tell her on the... She didn't ask me what size I wanted, so I just sort of said, well, please make it a large one. So a Bubblicious t-shirt, hopefully.
Yeah.
So I hope they're there.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.